Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Analysts and Investors Conference Call of SAF Holland. At this time, all participants are placed on a listen-only mode. The floor will be open for questions following the presentation. Let me now turn the floor over to your host, Mr. Stefan Haas.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Stefan Haas speaking from the Investor Relations Department. First of all, thanks a lot for joining our Q3 results call this day. We know there are about 30 companies releasing, so we really appreciate your participation. I would now like to hand over to Mr. Borkhard, who will give a first insight. Thanks.
Yeah, Mr. Haas, thanks a lot. Yeah, also a warm welcome from my side to our today's presentation. Due to the fact that you're a little bit under time pressure, as we just heard, I would like to jump right into the presentation. On page two, there's the agenda for today. As usually, I will do the first two parts, the highlights in the last quarter, and talking about the market trends, and then Wilfried Trepels will take over, talk about the financials and the outlook for the remainder of this year. With this, I'm going to page number three. We have a two-pager of highlights, starting with the first one, the overall business trend. We need to take into consideration that despite the challenging market environment in the most of the emerging markets, and unfortunately in North America as well, our organic sales in the first nine months this year was pretty close to previous year's level. On top of that, our organic sales trend improved from -1.8% in Q2 this year to +0.3% in Q3 this year. Regarding profitability, our adjusted EBIT margin for the first nine months of this year closed very close to the previous year level at 8.9% compared with the 9.0% last year. This is in the upper half of our full year target range, and our Q3 adjusted EBIT margin came in at 8.4%. That is excluding some one-time write-down and charges at 8.8%. We have some one-time effects we need to explain a little bit more in detail. As an overview, there are mainly three things. One, the first one is we have some one-time transaction costs totaled to approximately 2.5 million euros. That's including the acquisition of KLL. Second one is the overall 0.6 million positive impact of the Haldex transaction in our finance result, with 0.9 million in one-time other transaction-related finance costs included therein. Last but not least, we have a one-time write-down of approximately 1 million euro in China due to a huge typhoon which hit at our production. Together with that, including our SAP introduction, we had done some write-downs of inventory. On the next page number four, I continue with the highlights of the last quarter. We finalized the acquisition of KLL in Brazil. We acquired in the first step 57.5% of the stakes of this specialist for truck and bus suspensions, air suspensions in Brazil. We signed early September, and we closed the deal in the first week of October. Last but not least, our expansion for the European, Middle East, and India region is going on. We are currently establishing some additional production facilities in Turkey. The production should open or will open end of this year with the first axles coming from the assembling line, and then with a ramp-up production in the first quarter next year. This plant will serve the Turkish market and some Middle East markets as well. On top of that, we started our three-shift operation in plant number one here in Germany in late October this year. These are the highlights. I would like to talk a little bit about some new products and other highlights, for example, our AAA. This is on page number five of our presentation. We presented, and some of you visited us at the IAA in Hanover. Thanks for that. We published or we introduced our first drive axles for trailers by SAF Holland. Call it the SAF Track. This system was so well received by the press and by the market that we got the very well-known European Trailer Innovation Award. That's the very first time that SAF Holland got this award, and we are pretty proud about this nice event. Some other events, we did two press events in US. One was in Grand Rapids earlier this year, and the last one in October in St. Louis. And there we introduced two or three new things. First of all, our new air disc brakes called the P89. And on top of that, we launched a so-called electronic lock inspection that is for fifth wheels. This is a technology which will help drivers to make sure that their truck, the pulling unit, is security together with the trailer. And this is in regards of autonomous driving, when we talk about platooning, etc., a very helpful tool to make sure that the truck is coupled with the trailer without any visual control. This is done by the electronics. So this goes clearly in this direction of digitalization. Plus, we launched a new air suspension. We call it the CBX40 Aero Beam. This is one of the lightest, or probably the lightest, white Slater air suspension for the U.S. or North American market. We have also some very nice sales successes. We already published that we got a long-term contract with Navy Star, one of the leading truck OEMs in North America, and we got the standard position of fifth wheels from early next year on. This is a very nice success, and most of you know about that already. We also get a nice order from U.S. Express, which is one of the biggest fleets in U.S., for 1,800 trailers, all equipped with air disc brake, and we can deliver not only the disc brake, but the axle, the suspension, the slider, so the full-dressed system, and this is the biggest order ever so far for disc brakes for trailers, and I'm very proud that we got this order. Yeah, with this, I would like to go to the market trends. I jump right into page number 7 with our usually overview about the global truck market and the trailer market. On the first line, the top line, you see the North American Class 8 market. That's the market where we are mainly in, and mainly with fifth wheels and air suspensions. And you see the two companies who are doing the forecasting, ACT and FTR. For this year, both are very close now, with roughly 29% down compared with the previous year, with 2015. This is a quite big change. You might remember that we started this year in our budget with a minus 10, probably minus 12% lower demand for Class 8 trucks, and now facing with minus 30%, this is quite a big hit for the whole industry. What is the outlook for next year? You see minus 10%, minus 10.8 to be precise, from ACT, and FTR with a minus 1.6. What to say about that? Yesterday was an historic day with some surprises, I would say. What does it mean business-wise? Of course, we don't know. But I would challenge these numbers now with minus 10 or minus whatever. That might change. I will come to that later when we talk about the trailer market, and then I try to summarize that. But again, this could come much better than you see on this page here. Talking about the truck market in Western, Central, and Eastern Europe, which is the second line, here are the numbers from LMC. They talk about this year an increase of 1.3% to 434,000 units, and next year a plus 8.7%. I also would challenge these numbers. We see that much different. For this year, we will see something between plus 5 and plus 10%. So very nice market development here in Europe for the truck industry. But for next year, what we hear from customers, what we got out of our discussion during the IAA, end of September, the bigger truck OEMs are a little bit more cautious now. and we might see a slight decline next year. Could be probably minus 4, minus 5, minus 6%, something in this ballpark. But I would not see, or we don't see really another increase of 8.7% as indicated here by LMC. It's of course too early to go to precise numbers here, but that's how we see it, and I would be a little bit more conservative for the European truck market. Please bear in mind that our dependency on the European truck market is very little, okay? Only 3 to 4% of our group sales are related to the European truck market, so therefore if there's a plus 5 or minus 5%, you rather will not see that in our top line and probably also not in our EBIT line. So coming to the trailer market, as you know, it's much more important for us. A lot of sales goes to the trailer market in North America, in Europe from our side. You see for North America, FTR and ACT talking about roughly minus 8 to 9% for this year compared with last year. That's something we can confirm. We see this slight downturn, especially in the last, the last half year of this year. For next year, you see minus 13.9 and minus 12.9. The day before yesterday, I would say yes, we see that as well. It could be even more, could be minus 15 or minus 20%, something in this range. But with the results from yesterday's election in United States of America, that might change if the Republicans will come to decisions, and they will come. That is politically very clear. The time is over of no decisions. And with all the things which are in the air, which Mr. Trump said, that will for sure boost our industry. That means investments in infrastructure, and that always means transport, whatever it needs to be transported. It will boost the defense industry, and we have a big stake there, especially with our very special air suspension, etc. So it will have a positive impact. How much? That's far too early to say. But in my discussions I had yesterday with several U.S. customers and with our people in North America, regardless of private opinion, okay, but business-wise, this might really trigger something quite positive. We will see, again, a little bit too early on the 9th of November, but again, I repeat myself, I would challenge the minus double-digit numbers here, which we see on this slide. Yeah, coming to the last line, Western and Eastern European trailer market, you see for this year, plus 10% indicated by CLEAR. And for next year, minus 3%. When you look to the asterisk there, point number four, these numbers for Western Europe from CLEAR are from June this year, and for Eastern Europe are from April this year. And Eastern Europe includes Russia and Turkey. We see in Turkey a weaker demand for sure for the last couple of months. It has to do with the war close to their borderline. So Eastern Turkey is almost dead. The customers don't have any orders there. The rest of Turkey is also not so nice. The Turkish trailer OEs do a lot of export to Russia, and we know this market is still very weak, although we see some signs of recovery. The scrap tax is off the table now, putting stop that. And so Russia might turn into the positive now, and also our discussions at the IAA with customers haven't been not that bad, I would say. Plus, here, and we talk about that when we talk about our results for the EMEA region, this includes the Middle East markets, like Saudi Arabia, etc., and also these markets are very slow now. For example, Saudi Arabia, we see a minus 60% compared with last year, in both in trucks and trailers. Dubai is also not that strong. So the plus 10% you see here for Western and Eastern Europe, from my point of view, are too positive. It will be a little bit less. But for next year, the minus 3%, we don't see that. Also, according to our discussions at the IAA with customers and also the last couple of weeks, the trailer OEMs, they report good order intake, most of them already not full, but quite full for the first quarter next year already. Lead times are long for trailers, and I hadn't heard any negative signal for the trailer market in Europe next year. So it could be, again, also here is too early, it could be that we see another increase on the trailer market in Europe next year. And of course, if Russia will come on top, would be nice, would be very nice. And I didn't mention Iran. Iran is almost dead. There's nothing going on anymore. Everybody is waiting. We have this now for a year now. Everybody is waiting for the end of the sanctions. Money is a little bit better to get out of the country. Bank accounts are opened now. So again, everybody is waiting. If this will come on top as well, would be nice. And then our new facility in Turkey will be very helpful for that, of course. So that's about the truck and trailer market trends. With this, I would like to go to the executive summary on page number 9. There are 5 highlights. I go very briefly through them. Topic number 1, the organic sales slightly increase in the Q3 this year despite the weak markets. We just talked about that. I don't go to the numbers in detail, but just would like to mention that we have some translational FX effects which burden our numbers by minus 12 million and the airway divestiture last year that is not in our numbers anymore this year, so that counts for roughly 5 million euros. On our EBIT level, point number 2, we are very close to the previous year level with almost 8.9% compared with 9% last year. Topic number 3, talking about the finance result, we can report here on a considerable swing, a positive swing. The finance result amounted to minus 10.3 million in the first 9 months compared with minus 2.5 last year. The swing in the unrealized FX gains related to the valuation of our intercompany foreign currency loans that had contributed to 5 million in 2015, and that's compared to nothing now in the first 9 months this year. We have 0.6 million positive effect from the Haldex offer, and with 0.9 million in one-time other transaction-related finance costs, as I said earlier. Topic number 4, the earnings per share, that is at 0.81 euro compared with 0.93 in last year. Our net profit now is at 36.3 million compared with 42 last year. And as I said, that's affected by the swing in the finance result and some Haldex effects. Our undiluted earnings per share adjusted for one-offs is now at 94 euro cents. Last but not least, number 5, as an executive summary, we would like to confirm our outlook for 2016, constant to slightly increase organic sales in the range of 1.05 billion to 1.07 billion, expected to come at the lower end of this corridor, and the adjusted EBIT margin is planned to come in between 8 and 9% for the full year this year, and we expect to reach that at the upper half of this projected range. So on the next slide, number 10, you see the number I just talked about in as a graph. I don't go into the detail, but you can easily see Q3 2015 to compared with this year is 3 million less, and the adjusted EBIT is at 8.4% in this quarter, Q3 this year. On page number 11, you see the sales development and the profitability quarter by quarter. If you compare then Q3 last year with this year, you see that 9.3% was with 24.1 million in 2015 compared with the 21.6 million euros in Q3 this year. Going more into the details, you see on page number 12 the sales by region and the sales by channel. and the regions, you see this nice increase as a gray bar, which is Europe, including Eastern Europe, Middle East, and India. Nice increase to of 5.1% to 430 million. And now this region represents 55% of our total sales. North America, as said, with a weak market environment, tremendous loss here of 11%, down now to 309 million of total sales. And also in the APEC region, including China, there is a decrease of almost 14% to 48.9 million. I will come to that later more in detail when we talk about the regions. Regarding the sales channel, you see that our aftermarket is almost at the same level with 205 million in the first three quarters compared with 206. And in the OE markets, it's decreased by 4.4%. Regarding the shares, the aftermarket now represents 26% of our total sales and 74% is our OE business. Yeah, on page number 13, I would like to start to talk about the three regions, starting with EMEAE, that means Europe, Middle East, Africa, and India, quite big area. You see, as we said already, the nice increase, 233.6 million in Q3 this year. This is by 3.1% increase, and as I said already, this is despite the softer demand in Turkey and the other markets, as I said already, Saudi Arabia, Iran, etc., etc. The Russian market, as I said, we see some signs of improvement there, and we will see what will happen then in the course of next year. The profitability, very strong, very nice. We reached now 10.2% in Q3 this year, or in absolute number, 13.6 million euros, which is a very nice result. And this is mainly due to the positive effects from our plant consolidation we did last year, or finalized last year. We see the full effect now coming in. We have a nice product mix and customer mix, and also our results, our positive results in sourcing and purchasing contributed to this very nice development. And we see no change in that also coming for the future. On the Americas, which is on page number 14, unfortunately a little bit different picture. We see lower sales and, of course, going along with that, lower profitability. You see that in Q3 this year, sales was down by 5.9% year over year, 204 million. But, and I believe that is worthwhile to mention, that clearly outperformed the Class 8 and the trailer markets with minus 36%. And I repeat that, minus 36% and trailer minus 13%. Despite this further market fall, our sales versus Q2 were sequentially down by only 0.1%. That means absolutely stable. And this is, despite this market development, I would say a very good result. And, of course, on top of that, this is adjusted for FX and the Airway, this product line we sold last year, which is not in our numbers anymore. Brazil, just to talk about that for a minute, the market is still down. We are heavily working now on a consolidation of our activities in Brazil. As you probably know, we have one plant in Jaguarina, our plant which we started in 2007, and now with our new activity with KLL in further down in Brazil, in the south of Brazil, we are going to consolidate that, and this is on the way, but this is more to come than in the next report, but that will help to stop our losses in Brazil. And the market in Brazil might help as well. We hear first signs of a stabilization. It will hopefully not go further down in Brazil, and what we hear from customers and also other market players, everybody is expecting for Brazil a plus, a double-digit plus, but this will be still on a low level, so we're not talking about millions and millions, but anyhow, it will it looks like that it will not go further down. Last quarter will be not nice, that is very clear, because for most of the participants in the Brazilian market, the year 2016 is done. It's negative at all. So, but for next year, the signs are on green. That means will be positive. Okay, regarding the profitability in the Americas, we have this affected, of course, by lower sales, by the lower top line, and still some scrap metal and steel price increases, which we will pass on to customers. This is heavy, difficult to do. Our customers are in trouble as well, obviously, with these numbers. And to burden them now with a price increase due to this higher steel scrap price is difficult. But this is contracted. We will do it. We are on the way to do it. But it's not so easy, of course, with this market environment. We will see some negative effects also next quarter. That means this quarter, and might go also in the first quarter next year. But most of the contracts, which are still on negotiations, will come in on a better way from 1st of January next year. So that will improve, or will further improve. Of course, we have some self-help measures. As you see as the last bullet point here, we do capacity adjustments, try to save costs, and have a strict control on our SG&A costs for sure. Yeah, coming to the APEC China region on page number 15, you see an almost constant sales level, 17.9 million last year, Q3 of this year 17.5, so this is pretty close. And quarter by quarter, we increased our sales by 3.6% compared with Q2 last year. This year. That means we are absolutely on the right way. Unfortunately, we had an effect last month in September. There was a really big typhoon in the south of China, including Xiamen. We lost part of our roofs in our plants. We have two plants down there in Xiamen, two halls. And so production stopped, and a lot of our inventory was infected by that. So we need to do some clearance in the inventory. We need to do some write-offs. Most of that is covered by the insurance, but we don't know yet. That is, of course, on the way. But how much money we will get back, we don't know, because that's the first time ever we had something like that in China, and our experience with the insurance companies is not giving. But I believe we will get some of the money back. In total, together with some write-offs of obsolete material, which we did now together with the introduction of our SAP in China, which is also an important step for us to have China included in our SAP world, all together sums up with roughly 1 million euro negatives. Good thing is Australia. It looks like that the market downturn in Australia is also leveled out now. We don't see a further declining Australian market. It's on a low level. We are talking about 30 to 35% less compared with normal markets in the Australian market. We have nice positions there, especially for fifth wheels and for axles and suspensions. And so this is improving. We see higher sales and also good profitability in Australia, and that could go further on in the next quarters. On the profitability side, of course, as I said, with these write-offs, our adjusted EBIT margin is now at zero compared with 3.9%. If we do these extraordinary write-offs, if you don't calculate them, we would have been on the same level, even on the higher level than last year. Yeah, with this, I'm done with the overall market overview and the regions, and I would like to pass on to Wilfried during the second part.
Yeah, good morning. We have had a strong operating free cash flow in Q3 2016. You can see it on slide number 16. We achieved 19.4 million operating free cash flow, which is clearly above the numbers from Q3 2015. But if you look to the net working capital on the left-hand side at the bottom of this slide, you see that The net working capital still is at 12.2%. We cannot be happy with this number, and if we see the development, it's clear that we still have to do some homework here. And you see it on the right-hand side. You see the development of inventory. Inventory was on the right way, but now we have, again, 54 days at the end of Q3 regarding the days of inventory. We have 124.6 million here. We have identified a potential of round about 10 million, and we have clearly set up measures in each and every country, and we know that we are able to reduce this, and we hope that we can realize round about 6 million until the end of the year, so that we then will tend in the direction of 50 days, and we would see an 11-point-something% on the net working capital in percent of total sales. So some positive news for the fourth quarter regarding net working capital and inventories can be expected. Coming now to the next page, which shows the balance sheet. The balance sheet is blown up to 983 million, which is clearly depending on the cash and cash equivalent development, which we have increased from 146 million at the end of 2015 to more than 300 million. Therefore, the equity ratio only shows 30.1%. The equity is 295.8. And let's assume we would take a target cash position of 7 million instead of 304.8. Then the equity ratio would then be calculated based on total assets of around 680 million. And so we would end up at 43.2%. If we now move to the third line from the bottom, you see other non-current liabilities. Also here we have an increase from 96.1 million to 108.2, and this is mainly due to one big effect in pensions, due to the fact that the long-term interest rates have changed in North America as well as in Europe. We have increased the pensions by 8.4 million to almost 45 million. This was all booked from the equity into pensions without touching the profit and loss statement. So let's turn to the next page. The next page shows on page 18 the profit and loss statement, and we started already with sales, and Detlef elaborated on the development here, especially with a view on Q3 numbers. In Q3, we achieved almost 256 million sales. And we believe that due to the fact that the business here in Europe is running quite well, that we can achieve our 260 million roundabout in the next quarter. Why can we say that? Because, as I said, the business is not bad. October numbers were okay. And we have compared to Q3, the situation that in Q3 we have closed our plants here for 3 weeks in Europe. And if you look to the calendar, we can expect only 1.5 to 2 weeks being closed for the time around Christmas and in North America as well for Thanksgiving. So there is also from this perspective good potential, so that we are quite sure to achieve our target for the end of the year regarding sales. The cost of sales, as already mentioned, the gross profit is overall improving regarding the quality of earnings, with 20.0% compared to 19.4%. Then there, regarding the SG&A, there is nothing specific to say to the selling expenses and also not that much to the R&D expenses, but admin expenses are up by almost 4 million. 1.9 million is due to the Haldex bit, and 0.6 to the acquisition of KLL. This is the 2.5 million which are mentioned here in the third dot. Furthermore, we have paid some severance, and we have also accrued some severance, and we have a slight increase, a bony increase compared to last year, of altogether 1.4 million. So this is the main difference between admin expenses last year, end of September, and this year, end of September. Detlef already talked about the finance results. You see the finance result where we also have to say some words about this development, minus 8.9 finance result compared to minus 1.5. The total difference here is 7.4 million. 5 million, as mentioned here, are due to the fact that we are not showing the evaluation of intercompany foreign currency loans anymore in the profit and loss statement. That last year we have had here a positive effect of 5 million. So this is one part. The other part is 2.5 million higher interest, and this is clearly because we have the 200 million bond in 2015 now on board for the first 9 months, and we have also another bond of 50 million which we placed end of June, which is then also now in for a couple of months. So this is the difference in the finance result. Overall, earnings before tax are 51.4 compared to 63.2. Income tax is 15.1 compared to 21.1 last year. The income tax rate is a little bit better than last year. This is due to the fact that we have had positive as well as negative effects. One positive effect comes from the tax, which is lower for the Haldex evaluation of the shares. This is 5%. And then we have, on the other hand side, negative impact, for instance, a million coming up from not usable loss carry-forward effects here. So it's not that simple to explain the income tax rate, but if you want, I can guide you through the numbers precisely. On the next slide, which is page 19, it's a cash flow statement. We talked already about it. If you go to the fourth line from the top, you see the change in net working capital, still an increase, unfortunately, with 17.5 million, but it's clear end of a year, net working capital is always very low, so that there is a certain increase during the course of the year is clear. But it's better than the minus 39.3%, which we showed last year in 2015, end of September. If we now jump to the cash flow from investing, which is the fifth line from the bottom, you see that the cash flow from investing is shown here with 87.6, and in the next line should read as thereof, and these 27.4 million are showing clearly our investments. The other 115 million, which are positive, is just a switch from short-term investments into cash. So 115 million positive minus 87.6 remains 27.4, and this is 13.4 million for the Haldex share, which we bought when we attacked here the market to get the majority, and 14 million is CapEx, direct CapEx, comparable with the 20.7% on the right-hand side last year. So it seems that we are a little bit behind spending in CapEx, but I can tell you we will come closer to the numbers from last year, because we will have higher investments in the last quarter due to the fact that we are starting, as Detlef mentioned, with our Turkish plants. So that's about the cash flow statement. Last not least, we have to say a word about the outlook for the year 2016. Organically constant or slight increase, we set a range at the beginning of the year from 1.050 million to 1.070 million, and the organic sales will be at the lower end of the corridor, but we are quite sure that we can achieve that, as I explained already to you. Very positive from my perspective is that we are showing evidence also in this quarter, despite the depreciation on the inventories in China, we would have achieved 8.8% in the fourth quarter, and so I'm very confident that we will reach the EBIT margin in the upper half of the originally projected margin or range. Net working capital ratio overall 12 to 13% is what I said as an outlook, but as I told you before, we are working on measures to bring that below 12%. We will see how this works out at the end of the year. Okay, so that's from my side. I think we are through now with the presentation, and I hand over to Mr. Haag.
So please go ahead with your question.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, please press 9* on your telephone keypad. In case you wish to cancel the question, press 9* again. So please press 9* now to state your question. And there is first question from Matthias Schäfer from HSBC. Please go ahead.
Hello, good morning, Matthias Schäfer, HSBC. Thank you for taking my question. I have a question actually on the APEC and China region. Because going through the quarterly report from Haldex, I realized that the China region should have been growing like 30% in truck and trailer. But your APEC region is almost flat. Assuming that your long-term guidance and your long-term strategy implies a high growth, especially in Asia, when can we expect to see stronger growth in this region? Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for your question, Mr. Schäfer. We are, when you talk about the general truck and trailer market in China, we are still a very small player. Okay, that means we are not really in the so-called commodity business, and the standard fifth wheel and the standard axle and suspension in China is commodity. We're talking about mechanical suspension, no air suspension. We're talking about drum brake, no disc brake. And in the truck, we're talking about pressed fifth wheels, fabricated fifth wheels, and not casted fifth wheels as we do as a premium in Europe and North America. That means in all these products, and that's what we always said, we are a very small player with very small market shares. Where we are strong in is especially bus suspensions, and here is air suspensions of buses. That's the niche where we're in, and that's the reason why we acquired Corpco 2.5 years, almost 3 years ago. And the bus market where we are in, and Corpco has mainly products and components for the large and medium buses in China, this market is today shrinking. Okay, not a lot, but it's shrinking. It's not positive, not a positive development. That might come back, okay, that will come back. But what is growing on the bus segments is the market for small buses. Okay, we are now starting having products for that. We developed it, and we are very fast in China doing that. So we will participate in that as well. But this is to come. Next thing is, and then you ask, when can we expect further growth here? We already got a nice order a year ago from a major Chinese OEM, and that will be the first time that a truck will be equipped with air suspension in China, and this is something we see on the horizon. It will be the same development then in Europe and also North America. And we got this order. This is an order for roughly, what was it, 10 million per year, roughly like a little bit more like that. And so we will contribute on that with the suspensions. So, but this will come into play 2019. Okay, so this is on the way, and there we see some growth. And all the other areas, we are working on that. As we said, we have products available also for the standard axles and suspension, but we are a little bit shy here. We would not play on price, and it's a price-driven market, so it will take some time. But overall, our development in China could be better, no question. But as I said, we are affected by this trend.
Thank you. Maybe a follow-up. Does this imply that most of the growth in this region will come from acquisitions going forward?
We go both ways. Organic growth plus acquisitions. But acquisition is something we have on the horizon. This is some of the things we do right now. But if we don't go for an acquisition, then we grow organically. We need to invest there. That's no question. And the question is, do we do it on our own with a new plant and new products, new people, or do we do it with this acquisition? What we did recently is we hired a new management. We have a new president now on board who is also part of the management team, which is for us a very important step. So China has a loud voice now here in the management team. This gentleman is on board for 4 months now, and we already reorganized our structure in China. I would say very successfully. We closed something in Shanghai, consolidated that in Beijing. So we are working heavily on a change in China, and that goes in a positive way.
Thanks a lot.
Okay, welcome.
Momentarily, there are no further questions, but I would like to repeat. If you want to say the question, please press 9 star on your telephone keypad. In case you wish to cancel the question, press 9 star again. And there's another question. It comes from Philippe Laurent from Berenberg. Please go ahead.
Good morning, gentlemen, and thank you for taking my question. I have one specifically on this working capital, so perhaps I missed something, but you mentioned that you expect to improve that position in the course of the fourth quarter. Could you share with us a bit more details about what are actually exactly your plans here?
Yeah,
that would be the question.
Yeah, of course. As I told you already in the last call, we have some issues with inventory in some regions and in some companies, and we have defined within the management responsibilities, and we are working on that. I can give you one example. For instance, in South Africa, we have had a lot of, or we are having a lot of axles there in the warehouse that was depending on an order which an end customer placed. And then he canceled this order, and so we were sitting on this stuff which we have shipped to South Africa. These are some specific axles, not easy to sell somewhere else in the world, but we have planned to sell it, and we are quite confident that we will solve that within the course of December. Just one example. So if I take all these measures together, I end up, as I said, with a potential of 10 million, and we are quite sure that we can reduce inventory by 6 million until the end of the year. Does that answer your question, Mr. Laurent?
Yes, that would help, but perhaps a follow-up here. I mean, you're speaking more about selling the inventories. Are there any further measures that you plan to implement, perhaps at group level, in order also to better respond to this kind of trend that a client is placing an order and then perhaps is cancelling that after you've been producing? So yeah. Is it possible to ship more, let's say, from one region to the other in order to reduce the excess inventory?
Yes. We have established during the course of this year April, in North America. We started this a couple of years successfully here in Europe. In North America, we have now also established this tool, and we are working with this since a couple of months. But as we know from our experience here in Europe, it takes some time to really get results out of it. Furthermore, we have rolled it out into the aftermarket business, also more precise planning on the one hand side, and we will roll that out with the start end of this year, so that perhaps after a certain learning curve, I would expect mid of next year also to see some positive effects which are sustainable in the aftermarket here in Europe, and then afterwards we will do that in North America. So it's a step-by-step approach. There is a significant potential. Because as I told you, we have already shown evidence that we are able to go down to 45 days, which is, from my perspective, absolutely doable. We have to work on this. On the other hand side, we have clearly a structural issue. If we are selling more in other regions, then we have this stuff on a ship on the sea, and this takes a couple of weeks to ship it from here to Australia, for instance, Australia. So that means there are two movements. One movement is that there is a tendency, a structural tendency, that inventory goes up on the one hand side, and on the other hand side, we work with countermeasures, and April is here, I would say, a sharp weapon, but it takes some time to establish it.
Okay, thank you very much.
No further question at the moment. So I would like to repeat once again, if you want to pose a question, please press 9* on your telephone keypad. If you want to cancel the question, press 9* again. And there is another question. It comes from Mauro Suzak from JMS Invest. Please go ahead.
Yes, thanks for taking the question. Just a quick one regarding the production ramp up now in Germany with the third shift that you have started, I think, in September. How much more sales in Germany could we, or in the European region, could we expect from this in Q4?
So we started with this third shift. Sorry, we started with this with the organization of this third shift in plant one here in Germany early October, and the additional potential which we see here is 10%, and at the moment the shift is not fully loaded, so that you can't calculate really with the 10%. But this is something which should come then with full speed next year. And today we are around 4 to 5%, I would say, higher in production as we have been in the month before.
Okay, thank you.
There are no further questions.
So if there are no further questions, let me thank you for taking part in today's conference call. I think you will all be heading off to another conference call shortly. Thanks a lot and see you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye. Auf Wiedersehen.